It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Rick Marks of Live the Life Ministries. We're a Jacksonville initiative to strengthen marriage and families and help people live the abundant life heart so that they can thrive in life, love, and in their relationships, and particularly in their marriages. We will engage in real talk regarding real issues to help you find real life solutions so that you can accomplish for yourself what God wants for you in your life. If you have a question or a comment, please contact us at realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org, or on our Facebook page. On our Facebook page at Real Talk with Dr. Rick. That's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. Have you ever been around Christian people, even maybe some pastors or religious leaders or you know, people you've known in the church a long time, but yet they tend to be mean, insensitive, uncaring, indifferent? You see, all of that is emotional. All those are emotional issues. They're not intellectual issues. Those are emotional issues. And have you ever wondered, why is it that people can know the gospel, know Hebrew and Greek, but yet be mean and resentful and bitter and weak emotionally? They can be easily manipulated. They're manipulative, et cetera, et cetera. The reason is because they've not matured in love. You see, I've come to realize something, that if we were to live out the heart of the gospel, not the mind of the gospel, but the heart of the gospel, that the gospel forces us to become healthy, mature adults. Maturity has nothing to do with intellect. You can be a rocket scientist. You can know that E equals MC squared and explain all the ramifications of that. But you can still be a miserable person, a mean person, a weak person at the emotional level, running from conflict, sulking, whining. All of that's emotional energy. But the gospel does not, the gospel of Christ transforms us even at the emotional level. Sadly, modernism, which values knowledge, and Western culture values knowledge, we've taken the value of knowledge so much into the church today. What we think that God is impressed with is how much we know the Bible, how much we memorize the scripture, et cetera, et cetera. That's why he put a lot of value on knowledge and knowing and studying. And yet, why are our marriages so dysfunctional? Why are the majority of our families unhealthy? Why is it the 92% of kids raised in the church leave when they leave high school? It's not because of knowledge issues. It's because of the relational experience they've had with unhealthy, immature people who say they love but are not loving, who handle conflict in unhealthy, immature ways. I submit the book to you, The Vanishing American Adult by Ben Sasse, Senator from Nebraska, or Diane West's book, The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization. So let me ask the questions. When you're in conflict, do you deal with your emotions, or do your emotions deal with you? When you are in conflict, do you deal with your emotions, or do your emotions actually deal with you? All right. What are your thoughts about this statement? Emotions that are buried are still buried alive. You see, people think, well, I'm just burying my emotions. You're not burying anything dead. You're just burying something alive. It's still inside of you at the very recesses of your brain, known as the thalamus, and it still impacts the rest of your life. You see, you cannot not feel. Because even though you may not get in touch with the emotions, you can disconnect from it. That emotional energy embedded in the emotional brain, knows the limits, is still affecting you. You're just not aware of it. So emotions that are buried are still buried alive. And let me ask you this. How important is emotional closeness and intimacy to you? You see, what we value in sometimes in the evangelical world is winning people to Jesus, but we don't value intimacy. You see, I'm not going to be awarded. I'm not going to be praised on how many people I led to the Lord. Because I'm going to be honest with you, folks. A long time ago, I was at a major church, and I would go out every Tuesday night witnessing. And I'm not proud of this, but I was taught how to witness. I was not taught how to love people that I witnessed to. And there's a very big difference in the two. This is why we go out and witness, and we've created a lot of spiritual orphans out there. There's a lot of spiritual orphans out there who got saved, but what our value is on the witnessing, not on discipling. The value is on getting someone saved, not maturing them in love. In the gospel, discipleship isn't to make someone more informed about the scripture. In my personal opinion, discipleship is to mature people in love. Because the greatest of these is love, not how much Hebrew or Greek you know. And if we're not maturing people in love, then John, the disciple, makes it clear. If you say that you have Jesus and you're not loving, your credit goes, your credibility goes away. And so why is emotional fitness so important? It's because the one another verses, there are 59 of them, by the way, love one another, encourage one another, support one another, come for one another. All of those 59 one another verses in the New Testament have zero to do with theology. They actually have to do with intimacy, connection, attachments, because God made us to be, we were the part of his creation that were created for intimacy with God, self, and others. Think great commandment. We are created for intimacy with God, self, and others. And so if we're going to have a conversation today, shortly, about emotional health in the gospel. So we need to talk about, what is emotional fitness? What is it? You see, emotional fitness is when you have learned to embrace your emotional self and regulate it with the higher order rational mind. Sadly, I was not that guy when I went into my adult world. My father, who I love dearly and respect dearly, had a lot of issues. Some of you have heard that story, might know those stories. But my father, when he died, was still an emotional teenager. You see, I'm 56 years old right now as I'm talking to you, but you can be 56 years old and still emotionally a child, which is the whole premise of the books I just quoted to you, that we don't have healthy, mature adults raising children today. We have mostly in America today are emotional children raising children. We have emotional children and emotional teenagers leading businesses. We have emotional children, emotional teenagers leading church staffs and leading congregations. You see, the gospel forces us to become healthy, mature adults. You see, that old phrase, deal with your emotions will deal with you. That's good advice. Emotions are part of your DNA. It's known as the limbic system of the brain. And whether you like it or not, you have emotions. Whether you experience or touch them or not is a different conversation, but they're there. And because they are there at the center of your brain, they do affect your life. And if you do not deal with them, they will deal with you. We must be able to look and deal with our emotions. So emotional fitness is the person who has emotional fitness, emotional health, most maturity, is a person who doesn't deny their emotions, doesn't run from their emotions, but they are able to get in touch with their emotions, process what they're about, and make healthy decisions with them. Understanding human emotionality allows us to respond then to other people's emotions. You see, you can't have empathy if you're not empathetic. You cannot connect to someone else's pain if you deny your own pain. You ever been around somebody who's very cold and indifferent? And you wonder why they're cold and indifferent when someone else is hurting? It's because they're afraid of their own emotions. You see, in order to have empathy, you have to be in touch with your own emotions. Because empathy is about learning to connect your emotions so that you can connect to other people's emotional self. It's also been said, learn to deal with other people's emotions or their emotions will deal with you, you see. And so compassion, empathy, is being able to step into another person's shoes and feel what they feel. It's Romans 12:15, mourning with those that mourn and rejoicing with those that rejoice. That's empathy. That's compassion, you see. And so having healthy emotional selves, which the gospel leads us to become, allows us to mourn with others. It allows us to be patient. It allows us to be kind. Because, see, in humility, we move to teachability. And when we're humble, we're teachable, then we become learners. And then I listen to other people and go, no wonder you think the way you think. No wonder you do what you do. It makes sense. You gain understanding. You gain understanding. You see, another point that I have around emotional fitness is this. Understanding human emotionality is a fundamental people skill. And having good people skills is a critical part of being successful in life. I think of the book Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman, which was really a business book, but he's absolutely right. There's such a lack of emotional intelligence in the world today, and yet we haven't brought that teaching into the body of Christ, into our homes. I grew up as a very emotionally unintelligent guy. You got it? My dad wasn't. I had to learn it as an adult. I'm glad I was teachable, but I could not raise my kids to be healthy, mature adults if I'm not one myself. You can't raise somebody to be something that you're not. So you have to have those fundamental healthy people skills in order to be successful in life. The idea behind emotional intelligence is basically this. The higher you move up in the corporate ladder, the higher you move up in the corporate ladder. People get in trouble, not for knowledge issues, but they get in trouble for people issues, how they handle people, you see. And understanding human emotionality is a prerequisite for close, intimate relationships. It is the prerequisite. Look, folks, two people who have a lot of knowledge doesn't make them close, all right? Speaking head-to-head is a good thing. If I have ideas and you have ideas and we engage head-to-head, that's a good thing. If I'm sharing hurts and pains and you're sharing hurts and pains, if I'm sharing joys and you're sharing joys, that's sharing heart-to-heart. See, there's something marvelous about sharing head-to-head and sharing head-to-heart. But you never share head-to-heart or heart-to-head. Did you get that? You never share head-to-heart. Someone's crying at you, well, you know, you should have, and then next thing you know, you're offering facts, logic, reason, and advice. No, that's not what they need. They don't need information. They need you to mourn with them. You think about the verse, mourn with those that mourn and rejoice with those that rejoice, Romans 12:15. If you think about it, mourning is an emotion. So what the scripture is guiding us to understand is when someone's mourning, you know, an emotion, emote with them, mourn with them. That's emotion to emotion. And when someone's rejoicing, rejoice with them. But to offer facts, logic, reasons, and advice to someone, that's intellectual solutions. Intellectual solutions will never meet an emotional need. It won't happen. All it does is make the person more frustrated because you send the message, I don't care. And the bigger message is you're sending, well, you're stupid. You should be able to figure this out. It isn't about whether they want, they don't need information. They want someone to listen and care. And when we listen and care, we actually develop close, intimate relationships. You see Jesus doing this with the woman at the well, the woman in adultery. You see him always meeting the emotional need before he ever offers insight across the board with people, except for one group. The only group he did not do that with was the religious leaders. He just told them the way it was going to be and what was. You see, so we need to have a healthy emotional self. Why? Because a healthy emotional self will also then be a healthy expression of your spirituality. Okay? If emotions are important, then how come some people then, Rick, feel like emotional or seem like emotional rocks? They feel like emotional rocks. They just don't care. Really, these people have been wounded so much in life, they've learned not to feel. Now, Luell and I both come from broken homes where there's divorce and abuse. We handle things differently based on our personalities. For me, I went to fear. And so I became emotionally like a psychic vampire, if you will. I was always taking, emotionally needy. I would drain her. You say to me, you're like a boulder around my neck. And I go, yeah, just meet my needs. But see, I had not been able to link my faith to my emotional self yet. Okay, now, I was being taught the Bible, and I had all the notes in my Bible, and I could go out and witness, and I did all those things. But I'd not been taught how to link in reality, how the gospel is a relational message that impacts the relational heart. And you see, the Isaiah says that the Spirit of God actually binds up the brokenhearted, not the person who's misinformed. It binds up the brokenhearted. That's the emotional part of me. And I've learned, having gone through inner healing prayer work and those kind of things, boy, it is so true. Spirit is so good at healing up the brokenhearted and bringing healing to the deepest recesses of our souls when we are able to. But I was emotionally needy, constantly taking. Luella was the emotional rock. If you wanted to get closer, you couldn't. Not emotionally. Because in her mind, growing up as a home, in a home where there was alcoholism and craziness, she learned as a kid, it's too painful, don't feel. And so in a sense, she shut off her feelings. And her phrase was, I'm a survivor, I'll survive. Well, that's not a bad thing. The only problem with that kind of thinking is people who live that way are so busy surviving, they don't know how to relate well. You see, Luella feared intimacy, and she didn't let people get too close. Now, she spiritualized it by saying, well, you need to just trust Jesus like I do. And the reality was she wasn't trusting Jesus. It was just using spiritual principles to not deal with the emotional self. Eventually, that kind of posture kind of wounded one of our sons, and God has brought a healing through all of that. But the reality is emotional rocks, people who are unfeeling, who are disconnected from themselves, usually are people, one, who are wounded and don't want to feel. Secondly, though, it's also society. Think about it. If a little boy and a little girl fell down, and both of them, let's say they're 4 years old, and skinned their knees and were bleeding, we will usually go pick up that little girl and give her attention and comfort her. But what do you tell the little boy? Usually suck it up, get over it, you're not hurting. Now, he is hurting, and he has the same emotional needs the little girl does because our brains are the same. But he was socialized not to feel. Next thing you know, he becomes an emotional rock. You get the sense of suck it up and get moving on. Why can't you be like everybody else? Why are you so emotion? And this is why in Western culture, and sadly this kind of thinking is corrupted through the church, is you need to suck it up and get over and just trust Jesus. You don't see that spirit anywhere Jesus with anybody that was hurting, ever. He doesn't think that way. He doesn't live that way. That's not him in his soul. When people were hurting, he moved to compassion. When people were struggling, he moved to compassion. Whenever people were hurting, you always saw him move to compassion. It sounded like this, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he's saying that while he's hanging on a cross, and he's saying those words to his Father over the people who are killing him. The most often repeated phrase used about Jesus in the New Testament is a phrase, he was moved with compassion. He had compassion on the crowd. You see, he was a person fully in touch with his emotional self. He would cry. He would laugh. He had joy. He had fears. He had angers. He allowed himself to feel. The difference is he didn't sin with those emotions, because he understood, not my will, but thine be done. He allowed himself to use his relationship with his Father and the truth, that's capital T, to help him in his decision-making regarding what he was feeling and how to express it. You see, emotional expression is we will express our emotions. Some people who are emotional cold, emotionally closed, that is an expression of emotion. You go, well, they're very distant and emotionless. Well, actually, it's that they're not expressing their emotions, but there are emotions inside of them that they're afraid of or don't want to touch, so they become emotionally closed. That's an emotional way of being, whether you recognize that or not. As opposed to someone who was like me, who was so emotional, he didn't know how to regulate himself at all. You see what I mean? So too much regulation, emotionally closed, no regulation, you become this emotional, chaotic person. And you start taking, you see. So we have to be open and honest with ourselves and others about our fears, our vulnerabilities, our hurts, our pains, our joys, because we're all created for intimacy. And intimacy can only happen when two emotional selves connect. We also need to develop an emotional vocabulary. You need to be able to label your emotions. People will come in my office and say, well, I go, how are you feeling? I'm okay. What does okay mean? Well, I'm just okay. Give me another phrase for that. Well, I'm hurting. Well, what kind of hurt is it? You know, I'm hurting. No. Rejection hurts. Abandonment hurts. Despair hurts. You see, feeling pressured hurts. Feeling regretful hurts. Feeling lonely hurts. Feeling jealous hurts. Feeling insignificant hurts. You need to be able to label the emotion. Why? Because the brain operates with clarity. Where it's not clear, there is no truth. Clarity helps us understand what the truth is. So you need an emotional vocabulary, folks. Why? So you can label exactly what it is you feel so that you can express those things in a way that is being angry and not sinning. That's the whole point. I can express my anger in a way that's not sinning. I can speak my truth in love. People who speak their truth in love are connected to their emotional selves. But they're able to speak the truth in love. Why? Because love is the higher order way of living, and that's how they want to be. They want to be loving people. To be a loving person, you have to be connected to your emotional self. Loving people honor the fact that they get angry. They just don't sin with it. They deal with it in mature ways. In other words, they don't spend their life reacting to issues. They spend their life responding to issues. There's a difference between reacting to the world and responding to the world. Reacting to the world is not thoughtful. It's lower brain energy. It's animal. It's 1/2000th of a second. It's the fight, flight, or freeze response of the brain. And a lot of people get reactive around what's taking place. Whenever you're reacting to something, the higher order rational mind, which is known as the frontal lobe, the neocortex, it actually gets shut down. And this is why you're going to be angry and sin, because when you're in anger, you're not able to think or process what's actually going on because you're in a reactive mode. Animals react to issues, but humans were given by God a thought process of the brain, the frontal lobe, our ability to think and reason. And people who are responding don't deny their emotions. But what they're feeling, they think it through, and they make a decision on the best way to respond. And wisdom gives guidance into that as well. So the reality here is that we want to be not reactive in life. We want to be responding in life. God wants us to respond to the issues of the world, not react to the issues of the world. Satan wants you to react to the issues of the world, where God wants you to respond. It is in reacting, which is not thoughtful. We create more harm. We hurt more people. We harm ourselves, and we misrepresent Father's heart. You know what I'm talking about when that person cuts you off in traffic. And you get an intense anger feeling, and next thing you know, you're pulling up alongside them, chasing them, staring at them. Let me ask you a question. Would Jesus do that? No, because that's low brain energy. He operates from the higher brain. He goes, you know what? That person did not wake up this morning to run me off the road or do what they did. That wasn't what their intent. They're just being who they are. And I can operate in patience and kindness and pray for them. I don't have to let them destroy my joy and peace in this moment. That's my decision. I can choose that for myself. But people who do not know and have not learned how to live a gospel heart-centered life, a gospel mind-centered life might, but a gospel heart-centered life quickly regulates the emotional energy and makes good decisions. You see, we want to be able to deal with issues in the right way, and you do that by learning to develop your emotional self, because the gospel of Jesus Christ will not just inform your mind, my brothers and sisters, it actually transforms your heart. And the heart of man is a part, the heart of man is in the thalamus, if you will. The heart is the seat of that emotional energy, which if you study your brain, that's that inner part of your brain. Some people like to refer to it as unconscious to you. It is in a lot of ways. But we can learn to regulate ourselves. This is why self-awareness is so important. And self-awareness is the key to being a healthy emotional person. If you want to live a gospel-centered heart life, become self-aware. I say to people, you need like this little eye, you know, kind of looking back at you, being aware of what you're doing. We all have that ability to watch ourselves in a sense and go, you know what, you're acting like a fool right now, Rick. You need to stop. You know what you're doing is destructive. You need to develop that. And the Holy Spirit will tell you as well. Do we listen to that? That's self-awareness. If I am self-aware, then I can self-manage. See, people don't have self-control because they're not self-aware. And if you're not self-aware, you can't stop yourself from doing something you're not aware that you're doing. So self-awareness is crucial to developing and becoming a healthy, mature, spiritual, gospel-centered person. So you think about it. If I'm living this way and Luella's living this way, what kind of marriage are we going to have? Pretty strong us marriage. Pretty strong us marriage. Not perfect, but mature and loving. And then I'll be that kind of a dad. I won't go in and yell and scream at my kids, as a lot of people do, because that's immature. Why would I want to be them? You see, I want to be a healthy, mature person, and I want to deal with things calmly, with love and patience and kindness. To walk out the 15 traits of love mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, hear me, brothers and sisters, to walk out those 15 traits of love in order to be those things. See, God is not impressed that you know that love is patient. He's impressed that you're a patient person. He's not impressed that you know that love is kind. He wants you to be a kind person. And when you become those 15 traits of love, you understand you are a very healthy, mature, spiritual, emotionally sound person. Because all of those 15 traits of love will be negatively impacted by the emotional brain if you do not deal with that part of you. May it be that we live out the gospel heart and recognize the link between our emotional self in the teachings of the gospel. So let me ask you, as you've been walking out the gospel, as you've been living out the heart of Father, has it matured you? Have you become mature in how you deal with conflict? Have you over time become more self-aware? Have you become more patient? Have you become more kind? Have you endured more? Have you been bearing more? Have you developed yourself into a person of character? All of those things should be the fruit of living out the gospel heart. This is Dr. Rick with Real Talk. We look forward to talking to you and listening to you, being with you next week.
Healthy living, healthy relationships. This has been Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Feel free to let us know what's on your mind. Email us at realtalk@livethelife.org and join the conversation by liking Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. We hope you can join us next Saturday at 1:30 for another edition of Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth.